Properties of vectors, or of complex or also real vectors. A very important property is the linear dependence or independence. I will not give again the definitions. Two vectors x and y, such that their scalar product in this case commutativity holds is zero, are called orthogonal. The definition, this definition is a connection with linear independence. Orthogonal vectors are a nice, very nice case of linear independence. I try to be clear. If x and y are orthogonal, then they are linearly independent. Well, this is a simple check, so we have the time to do this check. You consider how the linear independence is verified. X and Y are linearly independent when a linear combination alpha by X plus beta by Y makes zero if and only if alpha and beta are zero. This is the usual definition of linear independence of two vectors, x and y. Zero linear combination, this means necessarily that the two coefficients, alpha and beta, are both zero. This definition extends naturally to the case of more than two vectors. So, if I consider the case of two orthogonal vectors, if x and y, are orthogonal, how can I obtain this conclusion? It is sufficient to multiply on the left both the sides of this equation by x Hermitian. I start from a zero linear combination. I multiply both the sides, both the members, by x Hermitian on the right side. I am considering just the scalar product of these two vectors. On the right, I have trivially zero. This is a number. This is a vector, a zero vector. This is a zero number. On the left, I have the number alpha by the scalar product of x by itself plus beta, the other scalar product, equal to zero. But I have the assumption that x and y are orthogonal, so here I have 0, and only alpha by x, emission by x is 0. But this quantity is non-negative. It's greater or larger than 0. This is a sum of squares. If we do not consider the case, the trivial case, when x is the 0 vector, this means alpha equal to 0. So one, the first of the two coefficients, is necessarily equal to 0. If I multiply here, instead of x, I multiply by y, I will find that also beta is equal to 0. So we found that the two vectors are linearly independent. This is just to show you that when I have in front of orthogonal vectors, this is a particular interesting, useful situation of linearly independent vectors. If it is possible, it's always preferable to have computation involving orthogonal vectors or vectors near to be orthogonal. About the same question, let us see how it is possible, under this light, under this point of view, transform phi as possible to transform in some sense, and this word is not so clear, the meaning in this case, a subset of linearly independent vectors say k, we have k linearly independent vectors x, linearly independent Li, into a new set, a new subset the same number k of vectors y, where the new subset is made of orthonormal vectors. What does it mean, orthonormal vectors? The new vectors y sub 1 and so on, y sub k, are mutually orthogonal when picked 2 by 2. So the definition of orthonormal the scalar product of a pair of vectors in the second subset. The scalar product makes 0 if the indices are different, and 1 otherwise if the indices are equal. So I pretend to obtain vectors orthogonal and with length, the quantity the square root of the quantity scalar product, the generic vector, in this case y sub r, by itself is called lunghezza euclidea, euclidean. Length. You know also, most of you know also that this is the two norm. Of the vector y sub I. So with the, I nostri vettori sono ortogonali di lunghezza 1. Our vectors are orthogonal and with length 1. So this is the reason for ortho and for normality. This transformation is changed. Can be made in many ways. The most useful way to do this is to obtain a new set of vectors y according to this scheme. We start from given vectors and we will finally obtain a first vector y sub 1 depending only from the first. A second vector y sub 2 depending on the first two. And so on. Third vector y sub 3 depending on the first three. So that the relation between the first subset and the final orthonormal subset can be expressed in a matricial form, compact form, as let us consider the matrix having these vectors as cards. The final vectors as columns will form a second matrix y1 y1k the transformation can be expressed as a rectangular matrix call it R just to give it some name upper triangular. Why? Because also if I have not yet explained to you in which way this can be performed, we want that the first vector of the second set depend only on the first. So here we have only entry different from zero. The second depends on the first two. So we have two entry, two entries in the matrix are different from zero and so on. So this matrix has to be upper triangle. It is rectangular for a reason to the sizes of these other two matrices. Here we have m rows and k columns, so we have here k and here m. Okay. In detail, many matrices and consequently many vectors y can be found in the respect of these conditions. A classical procedural scheme is the so-called Gram-Schmidt orthonormalization. I will give you a hint for this classical method. It's a method which allows us to obtain, as I told you at the beginning, obtain an orthonormal set from a general linearly independent set of k vectors. Gram. Schmidt. Orthogonalization or orthonormalization is the same. We start, I write the given vectors, the final vectors. It is clearer to explain the scheme, the computation scheme, using intermediate vectors T, T sub 1, and so on. The first step, T1 is defined as equal to X sub 1. The first Y is obtained normalizing T sub 1. Let me use the notation two norm or Euclidean norm or Euclidean left, as I told you before, with here the index 2 or skipping the index 2. Since it is clear, as we defined before, the square root of the scalar product of x by itself. So when we normalize, as it is usually said, a vector, we multiply the vector by the inverse of its length. It's 2 norm. For the first vector, there is nothing to check apart the normality. But the normality is assured by this operation of normalization. This vector has necessary length when, if I want to see that the scalar product of it by itself makes 1, scalar product. This is a number, so we have the square. We pick outside this number from both the factors, so we can square this ratio, and here we have the scalar product of T1 by itself. But these two quantities. These two quantities, using this definition, are the same. So, this makes 1. So we have found the first of new vectors. The second, and the third, and so on, the construction may be introduced by induction, but it is simple to see how it works. Explaining in detail only the second step. The second step, the intermediate auxiliary vector T sub 2, second step, which can be generalized to the step, we define T sub 2 as the x with the same index minus the scalar product between the only y that has been already computed first, scalar product by the same x. This is a number. This number is multiplied by the first one. Geometrically, this formula says that we are considering the second vector and we are subtracting from it the projection of it in the direction of the vector that has already been computed. In general, in the generic step, this formula becomes T sub I is defined as the same x minus, here only one projection is present. In the other steps, we have I minus one projection, the index say k. Here we have the scalar products y k h Hermitian x y by y sub k. This term is replaced by the sum of terms of the same kind. They are all projection, orthogonal projection. Again, in the second step, we obtain the new y2 as again a normalization t sub 2 multiplied the inverse of its length. What has to be checked to be sure that we are finding really an orthonormal set? The normality of who? Of what? This vector, again, since it is it has been obtained by normalization as necessarily norm 1, the square, it is the same as this kind of problems. So this is okay. The orthogonality between which vector? Between the new vector and the previous vector y sub 1. But the new vector is proportional to the intermediate vector t sub 2. So it is the same that checking that t sub 2 and y sub 1 are orthogonal. In this case, it is the same check the product with reverse vectors because the final result will be zero, so in this case we will have commutativity. This quantity that I substitute y t sub 2 was and now we can expand the trivial algebra of products. Only commutativity cannot be used because it does not hold, but the distributivity holds. So we have this first product. And then this is a number, so I can put it where I want, where I prefer. This by this makes 1. So you see, we have a subtraction between the same number, two values, which are equal. So we have 0. In the same way, it is possible to verify that all these products, all these vectors, new vectors, are orthogonal to the previous. A check can be made on the intermediate vectors, as we have already done in the second step. This is the most simplest way to construct an orthonormal set when the given vectors X form a basis. I mean when K is equal to N. When K is equal to N, we can obtain from a generic basis an orthonormal basis. Well, a natural link with unitary matrices. Before, I said you that it is not immediate to construct some kind of matrices like normal and also like unitary matrices. But if you have an orthonormal basis, which can be constructed in this way, and you define a matrix A having as columns in the case K equal to N, the N orthonormal vectors. Well, a matrix A built in this way is unitary. Why? If you consider the product A emission by K, you have the first row of A hermitian is the row obtained by transposing and conjugating the first column. So here we have Y sub 1 transpose and conjugate, and so on. Then you multiply row by column. What is the result? First row, first column, 1. First row, second column, orthogonality, 0. First row, third column, orthogonality, 0. You have always 0 entries, apart from the case when you multiply one row by one column with the same indices. In that case, you obtain 1 for the condition of normality. So we easily see that with the Gram-Schmidt orthogonalization, orthonormalization, we can construct, starting from a generic basis of C to the N, and not the normal, a unitary matrix, which is the identity matrix, and by it. Okay.
Just one more definition. We will not finish in the first chapter today. We'll continue tomorrow. Another very important class of matrices. Also, this class of matrices can be
usefully characterized in this moment. We will see more inside the properties of what class? The permission definite matrices. So again, a complex square matrix N by N. First of all, hermitian. So definition says A is equal to A hermitian. We require another property. This is the following. For any x complex vector x non-zero, we require that the number x hermitian matrix A x, this number, is strictly positive. What does it mean? This does the definition make sense? When we write something larger than something else, we are thinking of real numbers. We started from complex numbers. If these two sides contain complex number, generic complex number, this comparison does not make sense. We cannot compare complex numbers, only real numbers. But this is zero, it is a real number. This number, under the assumption of hermitian, A is hermitian, is real. Why? How can check if an expression, a scalar expression, given and complicated, this is not much complicated, very complicated, is real or not real? It is sufficient to consider the conjugate and inspect if it is equal to the given number. I mean, I pick this number. I am on the complex numbers. Consider, let us write in this way, it is clear. This is a complex number. Consider the conjugate, but the conjugate about over the scalars can be expressed as also as the result given by the operator H. On the numbers, it's the same thing. This is a number. This is a number, but I can consider it as a one by one matrix. So it is correct to apply the operator H. The properties of the operator H with regard to the product is, we have recalled before, it is the product of the transpose conjugates in the reverse order. Before we had only two factors, now we have three, but the property holds in the same and acts in the same way. So we have the last, the intermediate, the first. The first x h again. The first. The second, A is hermitian. It is essential to use this property. Hermitian twice. It is like, it is the same thing. If I transpose twice matrix, I obtain again the given matrix. Okay, so here we have again X. So we see that the conjugate of this number is equal to the number itself. This means that this number is real. So this definition makes sense. Ha senso confrontare questo numero, compare this number with zero. You see here also that the reason of the exclusion of the zero value for x, because if I pick zero as vector x, I will obtain necessarily zero. Well, the matrices that fulfill this property are called positive definite. Positive because here is the sign larger than. If we have larger or greater or equal, we will speak of semi definite or non-negative definite. If we have less than or equal, semi-definite positive, semi-definite negative. And finally, at last, definite negative or vector negative definite. And these matrices play in the environment of matrices the same role that positive, negative numbers. The difficulty of recognizing a matrix of this class is evident. How can I apply this definition? I would be obliged to study the sign of this function. This quantity could be seen as a function of x, a function f defined over c to the n, the set of x with values in R. It is an R job, a function of n complex values. But it will be possible, we will see next week or the third week, also in this case, describe, characterizes the right term, these lattices in another way. So it will be possible to recognize if a Hermitian matrix is positive, definite, or negative, or the other case, with simpler conditions than this. We stop here. Domande riguardo questions regarding the last. Va bene, domani cerchiamo di finire, we will try to end this introductory part.
La pila sta finendo.